Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. This is the first episode in our podcast series on the reparations in German colonial Namibia case that's currently serving before the High Court of Namibia. On this podcast, you have myself, Esther Shiweda, and Patrick Kauta, the lead counsel of this case. This is the first of a series of discussions of the case that Patrick and myself are representing the Ovaherero community. In setting the scene, we will give you a brief overview of Namibia's colonial history and how German colonization shaped the country. We will discuss the key events between 1904 and 1908 that led to the Ovaherero and Nama genocides. We will also discuss the extermination orders by General Lothar van Trotta and how this changed the course of Namibian history. To provide some context, I will go through the extermination order. It reads as follows. I, the great general of the German soldiers, send this letter to the Herero people. The Herero are no longer German subjects. They have killed and stolen, wounded soldiers, cut off ears and noses and other body parts, and now out of cowardice wish to fight no longer. I say to them, whoever brings one of the captains as a prisoner to one of my stations will receive 1,000 mark. Whoever brings me Samuel Maharero will receive 5,000 mark. The Herero people must, however, leave this land. If they do not, I will force them to with my groot roer. Within the German border, every Herero with or without a rifle, with or without cattle, will be shot and will no longer take in any woman or any children. Drive them back to their people or also let them be shot at. These are my words to the Herero people, the great general of the mighty German Kaiser. So Patrick, can you perhaps just give us a brief overview of Namibia's colonial history and how the German colonization shaped this country?
German influence in what is today the territory of Namibia began in the 1880s. German colonialism started late and was driven by private commercial interest. Bismarck, the imperial chancellor, devised the policy that the German flag should follow trade relations and preferred indirect rule through alliances with indigenous people. In line with that plan, the territory, which is now the central and southern part of Namibia, came under the influence of the German Empire by virtue of a protection agreement of 1885 signed by Chief Samuel Maharero of the Ovaherero people, as well as a similar later agreements with other chiefs, among them certain Nama tribes. At first, Germany outsourced the administration in what became known as Southwest Africa to private German companies. However, government agencies became more involved in the administration over time, primarily for the purpose of protecting German trade interests and settlements. That is how we are where we are today.
So we are currently in court and we are seeking reparations because of an event that occurred during 1904 and 1908. For the listeners, could you please just give us a brief overview of what happened during that time?
So on the 2nd of October, 1904, as you correctly pointed out, General van Trotta issued the extermination order to exterminate all of Herero people. The following year, on 22 April, 1905, he issued a similar order against the Nama people. We are in court because both orders led to the confiscations, expropriations of property of Herero and Nama people and led to forced labor and internment in concentration camps, the expropriation of their cattle without compensation, and the mass killing and murder of 80% population of the Ovaherero people at that time and 50% of the Nama people.
And this period is often referred to as the first genocide of the 20th century, isn't it?
Yes, that much is clear from the Nuremberg trials that Germany ran based on that very fact that you were mentioning. In the mid-1900s, history teaches us that the Armenian genocide followed around 1913 and 1914, and the famous genocide and extermination by Adolf Hitler followed thereafter. To put it bluntly, the German Reich or Empire before World War I and II had practiced its extermination in Africa, not only in Namibia, also in Tanzania and also in Armenia.
So this land grabbing and mass killing obviously had a social and economic consequence to the Ova Herero and Nama communities.
It is so, Esther, and we'll go in detail in other series of exactly how the economic losses relating to land and cattle that the extermination order had. In fact, also prior to that, the entire German colonialization had on present-day Namibia. We will illustrate that in a future podcast by references to the figures, but it was profound, to say the least.
Patrick, why this case? Why is this fight so important?
This case is important because the Namibian Parliament in October 2006 resolved unanimously that the Ova Herero and Namas obtain an apology and reparations from Germany. It is important because there is a unanimous resolution from the Namibian Parliament in October 2006 for the Ova Hereros and Namas and all affected communities for Germany to acknowledge unequivocally its genocide and apologize to the communities and pay in the form of restorative justice reparations from Germany.
And this is what we term the 2006 parliamentary motion. It has three cornerstones: acknowledgement, reparations, and participation. And these are very important for the case that's serving before court. How did this motion influence Namibia's approach to negotiations with Germany?
To my knowledge, the Namibian government and Germany then, or how they approached the issue in a joint declaration, the 2006 motion of Parliament opened the negotiations between the two governments of Germany and Namibia and led to the conclusion of what is now known as the joint declaration signed by the two envoys, or for a lack of better word, ambassadors in respect of this issue of both the Namibian and German governments.
Now, our case also deals with the fact that the Ova Herero and Nama communities were largely excluded from these talks.
True. The issue is that the Ova Hereros and Namas demanded direct participation in the talks. That was not granted. The talks or the negotiations remained secretive and non-transparent, and only between the two governments.
Patrick, just to conclude, give us a brief overview of our matter before court without obviously divulging everything in this podcast series.
The communities are seeking, on the one hand, against the Namibian government to set aside the joint declaration because, in the view of the community, it is inconsistent with the Namibian constitution for various reasons that we will go into in future podcasts. As against the German government, the communities will seek to bring Germany before the Namibian court to acknowledge, consistent with the 2006 motion, that the atrocities of 1904 and 1905 were genocide, and therefore reparations pertain to the issue.
Thank you so much, Patrick, and thank you to our listeners. Look out for follow-up episodes in our series where we will discuss the case before court, memory and recognition, the 2006 parliamentary motion, and the road to the joint declaration. Till next time.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.